Dear Omnic, the official version of the life circumstances on Venus tells us that Venus is an extremely hot, hell-like planet. The average temperature there is 400 degrees Celsius according to 740 degrees Kelvin, so there is no way for life on the material level. Besides the heat, even the duration of the rotation, which is relevant for the length of the days, is an argument against this. The Venus day is longer, 243 days on Earth, and so it is lasting even longer than a Venus year, which is lasting 224 Earth days. I think you must explain this to our viewers, because these are the results the official media tell us.
Well, the physical Venus is not where I live. I know it's too hot for human life, you know. We live on another dimension that runs parallel to the physical. Mm-hmm. And we have a state or a city. There's a special temple that absolutely exists on the physical as well as the other dimension. And through this temple, we're able to manifest a physical body, lower the vibrations and manifest a physical mm-hmm. body. And so I didn't live in the physical Venus, of course. It's impossible. Uh-huh. But when it was a physical planet, Venus was very much similar to the desert areas here on your Earth, like the Sahara deserts. Uh-huh. Very dry, very hot, not mm-hmm. much plant life. So it was a little different in the physical. I didn't live in the physical, so I don't remember.
Okay.
So it is the astral plane on Venus.
Right.
Is there any day and night rhythm on Venus?
Not really.
Not really?
No. Because it's not a physical world, and mm-hmm. The conditions are not created by God or nature. Mm-hmm. This dimension, you know, is actually the support comes from the individuals themselves that live there. And if they wish a night and a day, mm-hmm. then they can make it over their uh-huh. own environment.
Uh-huh. Do these people have a need for sleep?
No. Now, when I first came to Earth, I had trouble with mm-hmm. sleeping, because I didn't understand that your body had to sleep and rest, because I wasn't used to the physical body. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult for me. And I had to have the experience of staying awake for so many hours and realizing that I couldn't concentrate and I'd fall asleep without even knowing it. And I had to have this experience to know that the body, the physical body, needs much care, and you have to take care that it gets enough rest mm-hmm. and nourishment, because we don't eat on Venus either.
Aber Phasen der Ruhe, der Abschaltung, wo man mal für eine Stunde oder so oder für eine längere Zeit.
But phases of rest, where you achieve a sleep-like status, is there such?
We do meditate, you know. We mm-hmm. take our quiet time
ah, yeah. uh-huh.
to regenerate ourselves and balance our concentration.
So you meditate instead of sleeping?
I guess you could say. I don't mm-hmm. know, really. It's just it's beneficial, I think, for every human being, whether they're in the physical or not, to have a period where their body can regenerate and they can collect their concentration again. Uh-huh.
How works communication on Venus?
We use a form of mineral telepathy.
Das ist Telepathie.
Ja.
Übermittelt man trotzdem reine Gedankenmuster?
Do you transmit pure thought samples, or is it more a kind of an inner dialogue which you transfer to other people?
Well, it used to be the communication for all people in the physical universe as well. But the way the Earth has developed, the people have lost the ability to have this mm-hmm. ability anymore. And it's actually a learning process. Yeah, the communication is not much different than on the Earth. On the Earth, you got to go learn the language. You got to learn the process of how the language and the grammar works together. When you learn telepathic, it's not just you can do it automatically. You have to know that there are certain thought forms, and these thought forms can be transferred to the other person. There has to be an order in everything that exists in the universe. You can't just communicate with someone without some kind of order and process that you have to study and learn. So it's not so simple.
I still wanted to ask you a question about the way you feed yourself on Venus. Is there any necessity to eat something at all? There is this woman named Jasmuheen. She propagates Lightfoot here on Earth.
I know, but that's her mission, that's her choice, that's what she does. It's not for me.
Okay, but how is it on Venus with that? Do you eat any physical food?
No. We absorb energy, and that's the way we survive. We don't have a physical body.
Yeah.
We have no need for eating. We don't live in the physical world. So we can absorb the energy from the dimension in which we live. And people on Earth have this energy also flowing through their systems, through the different chakras in the body. So it's no different. The life force and the energy source comes from God. And it flows through every dimension into the physical. And on the astral, because we're a little bit more higher consciousness and higher developed than the people in the physical, we have the ability to take of this energy what we need. And we use this energy, to create our surroundings, our houses, the beautiful things that we desire to have around us. And even children, you know, can manifest clothes for themselves, like a butterfly or a bird or trees. This is only beauty, and this is only things that we need. We use this energy. And in the physical, I'm teaching people in the workshops how to use this energy and direct it for healing and for the world that we live in. We've done so much damage here in the physical. And I'm teaching people that you can use this energy in the form of your thinking to recreate the earth like it should be. But they have to do it in a group, because on the earth, people are not so used to using this energy and focusing it. And that's what I do in the workshops. I'm telling people you have the power, because what you think manifests. Even on Earth, it takes more of a time. It's like we wouldn't have computers, we wouldn't have automobiles, we wouldn't have houses, we wouldn't have anything in this world if people didn't think it first. It has to be a thought first, and then eventually it becomes a material thing.
So everything exists first on a mental plane?
Exactly. Because the thoughts are the energy that God gave us to create the things that we need in the physical world.
Many names like Teutonia or even Odin. Perhaps you know Frank Stranges, who also had a guest named Valiant Thor. Here we have the name.
Like Thorsten or
Of the god Thor. All this reminds of the Germanic mythology. Are there any connections to the German, the Scandinavian, or to this mythological world? Yes?
Of course.
Yeah?
You have to realize that the people on other planets existed before the Earth existed, and before the people on Earth existed. And the German, and the Scandinavian, the Swedish, all of those races of people, their forefathers were the people on Venus originally. Before they even inhabited the Earth or colonized here.
Wir hatten es vorher mal im Vorfeld diskutiert.
My companion and I, we still had discussed it just now, and he also thought there would be a relationship between these names. Odin is deducted from Aton, and this from Adonis, and then we come from Adonis to Adonai. Are these only accidental coincidences, or, in the end, is it always the same person which is meant?
No. No, my uncle Odin is from an ancient Venusian family, and when we work in the physical world, we choose a name that starts with O, because the O is a complete circle, and each one of us that works spiritually have completed a circle of our physical lives and now can choose to work here or not. And so our names begin with the O because it has a certain energy and a certain effect on people. And so this is a spiritually ordained name, that when you work in the physical and you're from Venus, you must choose a name that starts with an O. Mm-hmm. This is from our specific Venusian family. Not the other Venusians, mm-hmm. I can't speak for them. But apparently, Valiant Thor came from the center of Venus, not from the surface or the dimension where mm-hmm. I came from. Because there is people that live in the central of Venus as well as the Earth. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing. Every planet is hollow yeah. inside. Yeah. It's really for the support of the planet that the energy flows around and through the planet to give it its support so that the planet can stay in its orbit around the sun and everything. Uh-huh. There's an energy flow through the universe that supports and maintains every human, every planet that is in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's very complicated. I don't know everything.
Yeah.
But I have learned a lot of things. I've lived on Earth. My uncle has given me information. Eberhard has information. And so I can do a research and learn more as I live here. Because people ask questions. I don't know everything. I'm not a scientist. I live here on the Earth and I have a specific mission, and my mission is to give back information and knowledge that was lost to the people on the Earth, mm-hmm. and to make them realize that their connection to the other people in this solar system on the planets is actually their heritage, you know, because these people were the first people in this solar system of the human form, and yeah, they the white, yellow, red, and black, all the people on Earth came from these four races that lived mm-hmm. on the four planets older than the Earth before the Earth was even a planet or even could support life.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my mission. My mission is to make that connection and then to give as much spiritual information and understanding about the concept of God and the soul and the essence of human life and physical life so that people can understand. Mm-hmm. It's a big mission, but I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
Are there several astral planes even on Venus?
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no?
It's our basic knowledge. You yeah. know? We uh-huh. learn the whole knowledge of the physical universe, uh-huh. of God, of ourselves as a soul,
mm-hmm.
as of ourselves when we were in the physical, and the whole way that the development of the Earth has taken place. And the mm-hmm. Earth is a very special planet. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here trying to save this Earth and the people.
What makes Earth so special?
Because there's so many different life forms and physical beings living here from different generations. And we have brought life forms through many, many centuries before the planet was finished. We were bringing whales and dolphins and different plants and minerals to put on the Earth because we were creating a beautiful paradise with many diverse lifestyles that work together and mm-hmm. in harmony to balance and keep this Earth very beautiful, including all the different races of people.
Uh-huh.
And it's a whole process so that the Earth can stay beautiful like it was. We don't want us to see any destruction on the Earth because not only is it part of God's creation, but it has a lot to do with efforts of thousands and millions of years of our people too. And other people on the Earth, you know, have done a lot to make this Earth what it is. So we wish mm-hmm. to keep it this way and eventually return it to its original state of beauty and paradise, you know.
Yeah, this would be nice.
And we're having a yeah. hard time with the technology and stuff that's developing uh-huh. on Earth. And the people's consciousness haven't developed with the technology. So, of course, there's wars and there's imbalance and and we have to deal with all this.
Yeah.
And we're teaching people how to help us on Earth, you know, with their consciousness, with their awareness, by using their energy and doing meditations and uh-huh. focusing on healing this Earth. It's a big process.
For us, it really isn't easy to concentrate, to focus ourselves.
Right.
Und das ist einfach auch,
this is because we haven't learned it in our childhood.
Yeah, I know.
Man muss diese Disziplin von Kindesbeinen an mitkriegen.
Yeah, and I can, I can understand everything from every person very well. I can understand what's going on individually, what they have experienced as a child. And so it's difficult for me because I can see all this and be aware of all this, but to bring it across to other people is very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And the workshops are very helpful because the people learn through my perception and my view of everything that happens in this world and in daily life, how that I perceive. So they learn my perception. My perception is what they learn to do. They have a perception as soul, and from the point of view of someone not from this world or these societies, although I live here and I'm involved in things that go on, I can't focus on everything that's going on in the world because it's overwhelming and distressing, and I can't play a part in the politics, and I can't go to movements for the poor animals that are abused. I can't be a part of it because I have my own mission. And sometimes people are like, you don't care. Of course I care. I care about everything. But I'm only one human being. And what can I do? I can only do what I can and teach people that love is the most important thing. Respect, love, and understanding.
Now let us return to the cosmical items, because there is not so often an occasion to ask things to someone coming from Venus.
Ist ja nicht so oft gegeben, dass man jemanden was fragen kann, der halt wirklich aus dem Weltraum und vom Kosmos kommt.
In your book, I saw these spaceships, and they look much like the ones where even George Adamski tells about.
Raumschiffen, über die auch George Adamski berichtet.
Yeah, that is so.
On the video I have sent to you, you surely have seen this elder gentleman, Mr. Kurt Appleskow, a former lieutenant colonel and member of the Danish Air Force. He is a friend of George Adamski. What do you think about Adamski?
He was the first contact that had been recorded in your history from the 1950s in America. And he was just a, he wasn't a real astronomer. He did it for a hobby. And then he accidentally spotted one of the ships through his telescope. And he took photos. And then he had the courage to make this public, you know, which takes a lot of courage. Because you got the government, the military, always trying to take these things and protect them or put them somewhere where they're not available to the public. So George Adamski had a lot of courage, and I think this courage, my people realized he had this courage, and so they made a contact to him. And then he became a spokesperson for them, for the Venusian people.
So everything he described
is telepathically.
Absolutely. And Orthon was my uncle also, before my uncle Odin.
Yeah.
He was from my family on Venus.
Oh, yes, again, this O thing.
Orthon.
Yeah.
And I don't know what his name means, but yeah, he was one of my uncles too.
One of the last questions for the end. How does it stand actually with the lunar landing of the Americans? Was all this faked, or did it really happen, like they always would like to make us believe?
The original one that was filmed for television was fake. And then later on, they actually landed on the moon. So there's both, you know, you have the ones they faked because they were in a Cold War, a race against Russia and all this. It's all political again. And, of course, since then they've landed on the moon and they discovered that they're not the first one. And that's true enough. They haven't been the first one, and they won't be the last one. And there was a time even when the people on Earth in America, the government, military, had started to build on the moon some kind of colony, and they were kidnapping people in society And they were using them for an experiment on the moon to see how they could survive in these colonies that they built. And originally, the whole idea and concept was for the rich and the elite, the hierarchy, the president, so on, to live on the moon in case there was a nuclear war.
It was the alternative project, no?
Yes,
alternative ABC or the like.
Absolutely. But okay. Since then, everything is deteriorated, all the buildings are no longer there, there's only structures left. So that's all over.
Die Frage, die Mondlandungen, die tatsächlich geschehen sind, sind die wirklich mit dieser...
The moon landings which have happened, did they really use this Eagle lander? Or did they use one of the crashed alien spaceships?
I don't know, I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't have information.
Da noch eine andere Frage. Können Sie uns ein bisschen etwas über die anderen Planeten
erzählen? Can you tell us anything about the other planet mankinds? What is the difference between Martians and Saturnians? What information is available?
Well, I know that they came to the Earth after the Earth was here, and after all the beauty was here and it was organized so that it would function. And they colonized the Earth, the four planets. And they set up colonies, Atlantis, Lemuria, and the Egyptians, the Mayans. All of this is the forefathers of the races that are now on Earth. And these beings originally were the ones on Mars, Venus, Saturn, and Jupiter. And they came to this system long ago from their own individual galaxies under the direction that they wanted to bring human being and human life to this solar system. And since then, they've been living on the Earth, and many things have passed and taken place, and they've all forgotten their forefathers and the richness and the heritage of each individual race. You know, has its own genetic system, and of course, it's not the same as it was in the beginning because they intermingle and they intermarry. So there, it's hardly any pure races left on Earth. The Venusians, they come here from another planet, they come into society, but their ancestors on Earth are no longer pure Venusian either anymore. Because you have to see that the whole Earth has got so many different cultures, cultures within cultures. And it's so diverse and so difficult to find the origin. And this is all I do, is bring this information to people and make them aware that their forefathers and the original races came from other planets within this solar system and before that other galaxies to this system and live on Earth today in our society. But not the original races as they were. And that's what my mission is, to bring this information back to people.
Okay, yeah, dann ist jetzt die andere.
Now the very last question. Do you have to stay here on Earth until your bitter end? Or will you be taken away to Venus by Uncle Odin or whomsoever as an aged old lady shortly before the day you have to die?
No. My decision was that this would be my home after I came here, and my body, physical body, would die on Earth. And what happens after I die to my body, I don't really care. It's up to my family on Earth, my Uncle Odin, and what they decide is best, because I don't. But it doesn't really matter when I leave the physical body. After it's gone, I really don't care what happens.
Man sollte meinen, Astralebene ist Astralebene.
One should think astral plane is astral plane. So there's no way to get from one astral plane to the other?
No. After this life is over, because I've done spiritual work and everything, my soul will exist on another dimension, even higher than the astral. And what I choose to do from then on, because I don't have to come back to the physical, my cycles in the physical are finished, and this is my very last existence in the physical world. And that's why it's so difficult for me here, because everything that I have to, all the loose ends I have to wrap up, has to be done now. So my life is a little bit hectic and unexpectedly kind of strange things happen around me. And I have the ability with my energy to speed up the karma of people around me. And it sometimes is a little chaotic. because it would happen to them anyway, eventually. But when they're around me, it's like everything happens faster.
So everything gets accelerated?
So it becomes a little bit chaotic around me. Mm-hmm. But everybody's got used to it. They know it. They know me. Mm-hmm. Everything doesn't function around me like it should. I go grocery shopping and the electronics go a little bit strange. So my life is always an adventure.
So you could have an harmful effect to electrical devices.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully the cameras and everything.
Yes, we hope. Afterwards, we will see if it has worked. And now I thank you very much for this interview. You still wanted to give a greeting to our viewers.
With pleasure. Uh-huh. And it was wonderful working with the both of you. And thank you for taking your time, because to be around me takes a lot of good tools, you know, and you have to be very flexible. And I've learned that being on Earth, that you have to be prepared for anything and not become aggressive or frustrated. Just relax and do what you can do. This Venusian greeting is a mixture of Sanskrit and Lemurian language on Earth, because we don't have a spoken language on Venus. So I created a language that were the oldest languages. And it means, may the universal love and blessings be. Amul Abaktu Barakabashad. Thank you.
My name is Anyek, but you can just call me Anyek. And I have had the pleasure, and sometimes not so pleasant, experience of living on your planet since 1955. I was brought here in a spaceship, a physical spaceship that is, to your planet at a very young age. We have been visiting your planet throughout history for millions of years. Actually, we are just your ancestors. We brought the original races to Earth and colonized it a long time ago. Unfortunately, this information has been lost in people's trials and errors here to survive. Many of your societies no longer have the connection to their true heritage. And you all have to be aware that even though I look very similar to you, I don't want it to be a disappointment. I would like for it to be an inspiration. I would like for you to realize that we are indeed your forefathers, and we're coming to share with you again the information that is indeed your birthright. Many people have photographed the craft from other planets, and they're all similar in structure. Most of them, just about all of them, the ones that aren't remote control, run on magnetic energy. And we have a source of turning solar energy into magnetic energy also with a certain crystal that's mined on the moon. It coats the coil in the dome on the top of some of our ships. And we have a magnetic pole that runs to the center of the ship, and we create our own magnetic atmosphere. And there's magnetic waves that runs through the atmosphere in bands of three. And the ships always travel on the middle band, and so that's why they go this way, and then they'll go up and go this way, because they're hitting the middle band, which is the strongest. And they can go higher and higher. And as their frequency gets higher, then they vibrate at a level where they disappear from human view, almost like they're invisible. Even though they can still be there, you just can't see them because they're at such a high vibratory rate. It's like a fan blade spinning rapidly, and you can see through the blades. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, how can I see through the blades? Because they're moving very rapidly. That's a different vibration. It's similar to that. We travel through time. We travel from dimension to dimension, and we travel through space. And we have these capabilities, and it's all because we're working with nature. We're not using fuel. We're using like radio waves and TV waves. I mean, they exist. You can't see them, but they're there, and they are capable of carrying a craft that works with this magnetic pull factor, like gravity. And when you're using nature, it's much easier. You don't have to travel at the speed of light, and you're not limited because of fuel. So it's something that we wish to share with people eventually, like I said, in the future when it's not going to be used for anything negative. It's a delight to travel in them because you feel like you're sitting in a room. There's no feeling of movement except for what you can see. And it's magnificent to travel through space and to be able to, see other planets coming into view. It's just like, it's very much like being on an airplane, you know, how thrilling it is when you get up there and how wonderful things look from high up. You don't have the limitations of knowing boundaries. Your Earth or your planet becomes your planet that you share with everyone, because there's not the boundaries of your cities or your states or your countries. It all becomes one, and you realize, wow, you know, we share this little planet here. It's not like, oh, this is my city or my country. That's no longer visible. So it gives you a sense of being able to look at things from a different perspective.
Or can't you see life on Venus? Is it on a different plane or something?
Well, at one time, the life on Venus was a physical society, very much like you know here. But this was at least 20 million years ago.
That's some time.
Yeah, and now the cultures and societies exist in a parallel dimension
yes.
to the physical.
Yes.
And actually, they are the ancestors of the ancient civilizations on Earth. Some of the mm-hmm. civilizations, not all of the, all of the races on Earth came from other planets originally, but this was before your recorded history.
Venus was there first, or the Venusians were there first, or
well, actually,
were they part of other...
Yeah, actually, all of the human beings in the solar system came from other galaxies before the Earth was actually a planet,
mm-hmm.
When it was still a comet in formation of a planet. And they were sent to this galaxy to be the protectors of this galaxy, and being the higher life forms, human beings are the mm-hmm. higher life forms. And they colonized four planets, the older planets in your system, Mars, Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn. This mm-hmm. is the four major races that mm-hmm. you know of on Earth,
mm-hmm.
The four different races. And eventually they colonized the planet Earth itself. Since this time, the original peoples, not the ones who came to the Earth, but the original people from mm-hmm. the other planets, their societies now exist in a parallel dimension to the physical. And with our technology and our spiritual abilities, we have, we can manifest a physical body.
So that's what
you
do.
To work and live in the physical
universe. Environment, yes. Yeah. Okay. And on the other planet, Saturn, Mars, is there still life? Or
no, not physical.
Not physical, but on a higher...
Yeah.
Vibration?
Right. But right. you can still find the remains of their societies.
On Mars? There's
yeah.
a pyramid
yeah,
and
the
face.
Yeah, they found
yes?
some.
That's part of it. Uh-huh. But on Mars, is there is still life on the trial level? Like yourself, like on
yeah,
Venus?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Now, how did you come here to Earth? Was a like UFO or a flying saucer, or how did you get here?
Well, on each of the planets, the older planets, there is still one city that is on the physical dimension as well as the other dimensions. It's kind of a hidden city.
On Earth, too? On the others?
Well, on Earth also you have these hidden temples, these ancient temples that are hidden on
temples,
different locations. And they also serve as what you would call interdimensional doorways.
I see.
But they were hidden a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And on the other planets, we have the same thing. And this allows us to manifest in the physical. Of course, we can manifest our certain craft that we use in the physical for travel. We have intergalactic, interdimensional, and time travel with our spacecraft.
Yes.
And that's how I came. After I manifested my physical body
yes.
in this city on Venus, I was taken by a physical ship that we manifested there and brought... to Tibet, and I lived in a monastery for the first year.
Mm-hmm.
That was to adjust to the gravity, learn the language, and of course to adjust to my physical body.
That's probably tough to get from that light, white spheres
yeah.
to this very...
It is very difficult to adjust to a physical body.
At what age did you come here? Was it an incarnation, or did you really come here with a physical body from
no.
Venus?
No, it's just my...
At what age was that?
According to your time and understanding, I would be a 7-year-old child.
When you came here first.
But according to our time existence, and according to your time also, I would have existed there 130 years of your time, even though I look like a 7-year-old child, because our lifespan is very long,
mm-hmm.
and our aging process is very, very slow.
Right.
And so now I'm like considered to be close to 250 of your
You're looking good for that age.
Yeah. But on Earth, I would be more equal to a 50-year-old person.
Okay. Was it a job or a task to come here, or did you do it voluntarily, or why did you come here?
It was a combination of both. It was a request by spiritual hierarchy.
On Venus, or is it somewhere
else? Spiritual hierarchy that rules actually the whole physical universe.
That's it's everywhere on higher realms, not on Venus, not
right,
on the planets.
But they have a lot to do with the destiny of the people on Earth and in the physical realms themselves.
They're
advanced souls,
yes.
Masters, spiritual beings that were once physical, and now they exist on higher
ascended
realms.
Ascended masters, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah, correct.
Like Jesus?
Yeah, Jesus is one.
Mm-hmm.
It was to return the people in your societies, to return to them their lost history of their existence,
mm-hmm.
and what you have not recorded in your history that's been lost here on Earth, to return a lot of the lost history and the origins of human beings to the human beings here. This information was supposed to be returned to them because the Earth is going into what they call a new age,
yes.
a different awareness and consciousness,
yes.
and this information has to be brought back in order to change the perceptions and concepts of people on Earth. And it was the same teachings Christ had, no different.
Right. Are you the only one who's coming from Venus, or are there different?
Oh, no, there's many.
There are a lot of people. But you're the only one who's really kind of famous. And
well, I'm the one that was chosen to actually present it to the public, to go public, you know.
Yes. So are others working on the...
They're working in different levels, yeah.
Okay, I see. Do you have a special... abilities like reading thoughts or reading my aura or something?
Well, there's a certain spiritual law that protects your private thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not possible. But
you wouldn't do it, or you
no, it
can't
it
do it?
Can't. It's a special protection. If you are able to send with your thoughts, then we're able to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
But most people on Earth cannot do this. Because
are there people on Earth you can communicate with telepathically?
Yeah.
My English.
Yeah,
you
telepathically
can
I can communicate with certain people that have the ability.
Yes.
And this is also how I communicate with my people who are not here on the Earth, you know.
On Venus.
Yeah, for information that I need.
Mm-hmm.
It's not channeling, because it's a direct contact with beings that I know.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Earth people at one time, their ancient civilizations here, had abilities to communicate this way,
mm-hmm.
and to remember their former existences and their history. But there was a genetic manipulation done on the human races after Atlantis. There was an invasion from another star system.
Years ago or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it was before Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the genetic manipulation divided the brain of the human beings into two separate halves. And it disabled them from this communication without words. It took away their ability to have remembrance of their previous existence before they were here in this physical world. And it only allowed them to use the half of the brain that functions here in this world, in this physical world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was created by these people that invaded the Earth, who set up the hierarchies and the divisions of the races here and created the conflicts out of religions and
mm-hmm.
set themselves up as a hierarchy of ruling,
mm-hmm.
monopolizing, controlling, manipulating. And it enabled them to control the humans here more, because the human beings then lost their abilities. And any kind of secret knowledge or information that they extracted from them before the manipulation was then put into the secret brotherhoods that they've established here for the elite, for the special,
mm-hmm.
to study. And the rest of it is a controlled kind of information, religious teachings, knowledge. And then, of course, they divided all the races, created languages, religions. And out of all of this...
Separated everything from
the
source.
Yeah, and they created conflicts out of all the differences. And
who were they?
Well, I'm not allowed to say which star system they came from, because now they're in the process of trying to remedy and correct what they did in the past.
They see what they have done and they want
correct
to have it.
And this is okay. Like the transformation of the
Are
Earth.
Are they on Earth too, visiting Earth and contacting people?
Them have been reborn
That's like time. In the process of reincarnation,
right.
Or incarnated on Earth,
right?
And helping Earth now from as
in other words,
humans.
We're correcting, yeah. And okay. A lot of people are actually born here in these societies, but they know that they don't belong here. They have this divine feeling within themselves. They can't explain it with their logic, but it's a feeling they have. And the Earth is going to be actually transformed to its original existence, where that there will not be these conflicts and there will be a union. Mm-hmm. And it has to start with changing the perception and concepts of people. And that's what I do in the workshops. I spend 2 days with individuals, teaching them to overcome the structured and controlled ideas that are presented to you. Like when you're born, your religion, your political views, everything is given to you.
Yes.
It's not your free will and your choice. In other words, your family kind of instills this information into you and even kind of forces it on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because they think that this is correct and this is good, and so it's handed down from generation to generation, and it leaves little room for the individual to develop their own choices and freedoms. And so what I'm trying to do is help the people to overcome this and to go back to their own original source of seeking out what is your own emotions, what is your own choices, how do you really feel, and to overcome this programming
yes.
that comes from outside. And it's a big process, mm-hmm. but the people have to go through it themselves individually, because I don't have any magic solutions.
You don't make bang and
no.
then they are.
No, I just provide them with a different perception.
Yeah.
of reality,
mm-hmm.
different concepts and understandings of themselves, and then I give them the keys to overcome this. And this is what's in my books primarily.
Yeah.
They don't really have to even come to the workshops. They can just get the books and get
sure.
the information.
But basically, we have the given right to choose, the freedom to
right. and
make
is,
decisions.
Right, and this is one thing I do not believe in interfering with, is the individual free will and choice of a human being. To choose their own religious path, to do whatever they wish. But I think that still they need the basic information and knowledge of what happened to human beings and how human beings were a long time ago. And you need to know the history of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
If you give them the whole overall picture, which I do in my lectures and workshops, it gives them the ability to have a different perception of this world, the universe, and themselves. Not just as physical human beings, but as the essence, the life force of each individual.
So what you say, it's not our fault that we are not spiritually more advanced because there was a manipulation.
But it's also the construction of the whole societies you live in.
Yeah, so it's part manipulation and part choice of...
Well, the manipulation and control has been built into your structures and your societies here.
It's hard to get rid of it,
absolutely.
But it's happening.
Yeah,
and
we're eliminating it little by little by... individually meeting with people and giving them the chance to change their perception and abilities. Of course, they have to make their choice. You know, they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But once they have the choice and they have the information, then the change starts to take place within themselves anyway.
The information they don't get on the mass media,
absolutely.
TV.
Yeah. Even if they were to have this information, they wouldn't change the schools. It'd be too expensive, you know.
Yeah, right. They don't want, seem to want to, but do you, what?
Well, of course they don't want to. I mean, you know, if they monopolize the energy industries and they're controlling the monies here, any kind of a change would put an end to a lot of their systems, and this is what they're trying to prevent.
Power, greed, and
sure.
money.
Well, material things, you know, but
yeah,
they'll
sure.
be here when you're not here.
Are you optimistic for humankind? Are we developing? Is the consciousness changing? Or?
Absolutely. When you just present to the people the concept and idea of simple basic steps, like if you take away judgment and criticism and replace it with acceptance, you know, you have a total different way of living, because you're allowing the other person the free will to make their own choices that's best for their lives and taking the responsibility for it and not interfering and not focusing on this person so much. You're focusing on your own self. You're eliminating a lot of conflicts, because you don't create conflicts if you just say, well, you have your perception, you have your reality, you have your own choices to make, and let them do and have their free will.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problems and the conflicts are created out of someone trying to force their own ideas and beliefs. And it's control and manipulation once again.
Right. Since you came here first, do you see a change, a progress in the consciousness?
Oh, certainly.
Yes,
yeah.
You do.
And when my book was written in the 60s,
There was no understanding or concept of different dimensions. There was no way at this point in time to reach the people.
Mm-hmm.
With the development of your technology, with your satellite systems and your computers and the communication systems, has come a greater awareness. Because, of course, there's more information available to each individual. And this changes right there the perception and the ability for understanding a great deal more.
So that it has two sides. Information can manipulate, but it can also broaden the horizon. And
absolutely.
Okay.
And you have to be able to have the perception to see what the difference is, you know. You can see the benefits and you can also see the difficulties.
Do Venusians have a concept of God, of a creator?
Yeah. We only believe that there is one source of energy, we call it. And this source of energy is exactly why everything exists, because it procreated from itself. This source of energy procreated from itself every living thing to exist in continuing cycles of never-ending cycles. And this ensures that this energy will continue.
Are we part of it? Or
yeah. The creator
is
lives,
it up there somewhere?
No, the creator lives through everything that is alive.
Mm-hmm. So that sounds a little different than that we read in the Bible, the perception of a God.
If you have a centrifuge and you throw into it rock, sand, and water, and it's spinning at a high rate, the heavy material falls to the outer edge. This would be the physical, the heavy material. And then more towards you go toward the center, the less material you have, till the center is just pure energy. This is where the center of creation is. And all of the other worlds are the other dimensions that come down to the physical.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the human beings gather their information and experience, and you have to have a physical vehicle. But the soul, the source of pure energy, the little piece of this creator, has also the ability to have a body that is the same energy as all these other dimensions. And that's where it exists when it's not in the physical.
So we are not just a physical body, but we have parts of our beings in the higher, closer to the center.
Right. Your physical body is just a vehicle, something that you live in and communicate with and are able to experience in this world. But the real essence of you is a soul.
Mm-hmm.
And when this physical body no longer is functionable, the soul still exists, but not in the physical. It exists in the other dimensions. And if it decides to come back to the physical, then, of course, it makes the decision according to experience that it needs. And this is what I teach in the workshops. I teach the whole concept of creation and your relation to it, and how that you're also a never-ending source.
And love is a key.
Yeah.
For everything.
Well, yes, because real love is the energy that flows from the Creator through all living things, and without it, there would be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's unconditional love. That's not the conditioned love you have here in your societies. Unconditioned love means I love you because you are, with no other reason.
Not I love you if you love me.
Yeah, or if you do what I want.
So we have some concepts here on Earth that are different than on Venus. Do you have sex on Venus, or is it just a physical
thing? Well, when we were physical, we did. We have the same sensation, because even though we don't have a physical body, we have forms, and we do have attractions, and we can share the same energy. In other words, you can exchange the energy, and it's the same feeling, and probably more intense than having sex here. In other words, it's still the same energy, but you're expressing it through a physical body, and there we don't have a physical body, but we can still feel this exchange.
Mm-hmm. I believe that sexuality is a big problem by people who are searching for spiritual progress.
I think sexuality is a natural function of the physical body, which is very healthy and beneficial. I think it's been misused and abused a lot in society and misunderstood. And there's a lot of moral difficulties attached to it. There's a lot of problems created out of repression and lack of understanding of what it's about. You shouldn't build a relationship on sexuality. The relationship should be a real connection on emotional levels and psychic levels and spiritual levels and understanding, and the sexuality should be a part of something very special that's added to this relationship. But if you build a relationship on this, then of course it's not going to be very stable.
Right. there seems to be a development on Earth that we, with our mass medium, that there is a lot talk about. Sex that has two sides to it.
Right.
On the one hand, it concentrates just on the physical, not on the love. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it makes us more tolerant to understand other people's sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that?
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of sexual therapy available. There's all kinds of beneficial, you know, information that is being applied. But there's so many centuries that you have of repression, and where that the repression has created such diverse, I would say, abuses in this area. And it's only because of repression and lack of expression that you've created these criminal tendencies through sexual abuse and even overindulgence. Because in your society, they don't understand that the key to a real harmonic existence is balance and harmony. If you become fanatical, even in an extreme way of becoming a health food fanatic or not drinking or not having sex, you know, you're still repressing natural tendencies to do things because you're trying to create this perfection that you're not going to find in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And in this world, you have to realize, being a physical human being, you have to allow yourself to participate in what you would consider negative or positive kind of situations, but with a balance and a understanding of your limitations. And overindulgence is the real danger of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And becoming a fanatic is the other side, which is also not balanced. So you have to find your own individual balance. And that's something that I couldn't tell each individual what it is. That's something they have to figure for themselves. But I think that it's the judgment and criticism comes in again. If you're a perfect vegetarian and you don't smoke and you don't drink and you don't do this, and then you're looking at the other person and thinking they're wrong because they do these things.
Mm.
It's still criticism. It's still judgment. You're fanatical, and therefore you're not balanced, and they're, you know, it's not letting the other person be. And that's what I mean by acceptance.
So you don't
and balance.
Have to judge about other people. You have to accept them like they are.
Animals are living. Plants are living. They're all living essences. They serve a certain purpose, and it's your decision to choose to eat or to do whatever you do with your life, and nobody has a right to say anything but you.
Right.
You know?
Okay, another topic. Technology on Venus. Do you have a technology like we have in science fiction movies, like little computers?
Sure.
And communicators beaming? Can you?
We have all of these abilities. We have our great huge spaceships, which are like cities. We have the smaller craft. They can disappear within minutes because they have the ability to go into the other dimensions. They change their frequency, their vibration,
mm-hmm.
and their energy.
Mm-hmm.
What you would consider far out kind of science fiction technology, we do have. But to us, it's kind of natural, and it only comes with a great awareness because it's a technology that works within the same means as all creation. It works with natural means and energy, with not artificial fuels. It doesn't deplete the system because it works in harmony with the universe. It's a kind of resonating magnetic energy
mm-hmm.
that we have harnessed. And a lot of it has to do with the advancement of our thinking process.
Could we have this technology if we were spiritually advanced, more advanced? Or
well, when you start to understand the energy that flows through your body from mm-hmm. the other dimensions, it flows 24 hours a day. Most people doesn't know it, and so therefore it's wasted. And wherever you put your attention, you're sending your energy. And if you're focusing your energy on a negative aspect of life, or fears, if you're putting out fears about mm-hmm. wars, you're actually reinforcing these wars and these negative things mm-hmm. with your energy. And I teach the people
not to concentrate on the war.
I tell them that, you know, instead you do a meditation and you send blessings and love to this area, and we create a spiritual united force, and this will end this because you're not reinforcing it with your attention and your fears. And I teach them in the workshop how to feel the energy from the body, and I teach them all the different locations on the body where these energy points are, where the energy enters from the different dimensions.
Then is it the same like the chakras?
Yeah, and then I teach them also what the different dimensions, what effect this energy has on their function as a human being.
But this is knowledge that is pretty old on Earth too. Yeah, about the
actually
carcass.
It's older than the Earth, yeah.
So you are not the first who gave it to Earth.
No, but what I do is I give a simple I give a simple explanation that's not complicated, and because I try to keep everything in a simple explanation where that it's understandable and it also relates to you and your functions as a human being so that you understand it. It's not something so strange that you have no clue what I'm talking about, you know.
Right. And you're not using technology from Venus to impress people on Earth or say, here's the proof that I'm from Venus or something. You don't...
No. I think that this is something that's totally unnecessary because it's kind of sensationalism, which I get enough of that already. The sensational aspect is not as important as the information and the truth for the individual, for their own individual conviction.
But that means people still have to believe in what you say. They can say, oh, she's...
No, I want to teach them to believe in themselves,
yeah.
You know.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if they believe in me or not, you know.
Right. Uh-huh.
My knowledge speaks for itself, you know.
I think it does, yes. But some people don't want to believe.
But I have a faster heartbeat, you know. I carry my children a lot longer. I manufacture my own calcium. I'm now my third set
children?
Of teeth.
Third set of teeth.
I have
can
four.
We people, can we do that too?
Well, you know, you have a lot of abilities, but you've been convinced by your medical society and the media that this is damaging to your health, that's damaging to your health. You only live to be 65, then you're put out, you know, on a retired, you're not
yeah.
able to function anymore.
Yeah.
And the people believe this, and this is how they become. And I don't believe this 100%, you know. I'm 50 years old, and I still enjoy myself as much as any 20-year-old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And have as much energy, and I can drink and have a cigarette or do whatever I want to do and control it, and also know that it's not going to create this damage in my body.
Can you say something about cancer and AIDS, diseases?
Well, some of them, I think, are created, by
mm-hmm.
your governments.
Like
I think
AIDS?
I think originally it was created to eliminate what they would call undesirable societies or in certain countries. And I think that it backfired because it got carried back to the source, you know, which is kind of a befitting, kind of, what would you call it, punishment.
Mm-hmm.
When they start to use their technology in societies to improve on what the Creator has created, which they do many
mm-hmm.
times, it always is the destruction and the downfall of a civilization.
Mm-hmm. So genetic engineering is the same. They
Absolutely.
Want to improve something, and that's perfect already.
Right, and they don't accept, they don't realize or see the perfections. They think these imperfections they look at, but I look at the imperfections as unique qualities that we have to appreciate,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So diseases are just misconceptions or something?
Some of them are created by the media, and they write books about the warnings about this causes cancer, that causes cancer. And, of course, if the people build this into their belief system, then they create this disease in their own bodies out of their fear.
So it's their thoughts that manifest.
If they really believe
mm-hmm.
it, you know. And see, this is it. Whatever you believe and whatever you put into your mind and you really accept it as truth, then it becomes a part of what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really know within yourself that this is nonsense, I don't accept that that's dangerous for me, but I won't overindulge. I will just protect, you know, whatever I may enjoy myself, and I don't believe that this will create an illness. Of course it'll create an illness if you overindulge and you damage yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's a way of keeping the chemical companies and the doctors and so on functioning here.
That's about greed and money.
It all comes back down to the basic, yeah.
Right.
Because human beings used to live a lot longer, and they didn't have so many illnesses
so
that they have now.
So we shouldn't die at the age of 75 or something.
No, I don't think so. I hope not.
What we do have to do is change our thinking, our perception.
Yeah, I teach the people not just how to believe, but how to know certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference in believing and knowing.
You talked about fear. Being some a part of it that we are getting.
The fear is the biggest tool they have in your societies for
mm-hmm.
controlling. It's
mm-hmm.
used in your churches, it's used in your schools, it's used in your families, and you even have a fear of death. It's the fear, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole key to the controlling of what's happening.
So
and if people can overcome the fear, mm-hmm. you know, when you realize that you die, Well, physical body dies, but the essence of you is just transition. It's a transition from one existence to another. Mm-hmm. And then you learn there what you can't perceive here, what you can't understand here.
But you have to come back to learn.
Actually, you have a choice.
Yeah. But you probably choose yourself and you say, oh, I messed that up, I have to come back again, is that right?
Well, if you form attachments here, and then you have a fear of dying, and you feel that you didn't complete something, or maybe you messed up a relationship somewhere and you didn't have a chance to take care of it and take responsibility for it, then you feel this need to come back. So sometimes it's your own... You're drawn back by your lack of taking responsibility for your actions.
But you said there's something coming up in the close future that is changing, there's a transformation.
Started in 1993. The old hidden temples were reactivated around the Earth. When they activated these are also gateways to the other dimensions. Then the spiritual hierarchy in the other dimensions started to send energy to the Earth. They instructed all of nature, including the birds and all the insects and everything, to increase their sounds and their functions here, because their sounds create also frequencies that are beneficial and healing for this planet. There was many spiritual groups that started doing meditations on a regular basis in different countries. And the whole process was done through spiritual sources. And, of course, the spaceships have located themselves at different points, and they're also sending energy to the planet. It's a cooperative effort of... millions of people from different parts of the galaxy and different dimensions to return the Earth to its natural existence in the human beings. This also is creating a new chakra system in the human beings. It's synchronizing the two brain halves to function again with the intuition and awareness and knowledge of your former existences and of your true self. Mm-hmm. And you'll have once again the abilities to be intuitive and listen to yourself about whether to believe this person. In other words, you'll know that if this person is being deceiving or if this person is being honest, it'll come to you. This is the natural abilities that you will have once again. And then the new generation will be born with all these genetics and this whole system intact. But we have an artificial support system from the other dimensions and in the physical universe with our ships and everything that are sending this energy to the Earth to help it go through a transformation, which means the energy, the Earth is being... The frequency of the Earth is being changed to a higher vibratory rate. Then all of the technology and everything that exists here will quit functioning. Now, it's not going to be overnight. It's been going on since 93. It's a gradual process because we can't damage the human body. And there will be a collapse. You'll see it in the year 2000, actually, because they didn't program their computers properly and they didn't have a lot of difficulties.
Technical stuff, yes.
But that's their problem.
That's their problem.
But it's a good exercise for human beings to learn that they can't really rely on this technology, because in the future it won't function.
A lot of concepts
are going to crash.
The
political systems, well, they're already shaky. They were built on corruption to begin with, and now the corruption is being exposed.
Yeah.
This is going to end the political system. It's going to end out of its own unjust actions, and the human beings here are starting to be aware of it and to see it, and they're losing their faith already. That's going to fall apart, and of course when the money stops flowing and the people will find a way to survive on their own because they are the power. You might have these industries and these big companies that monopolize everything, but the human beings that work for them are the ones that create that the idea that this place can function. If they all leave and take their energy away, the people that own these companies cannot function without them. And the human beings will realize this eventually. They don't need these industries. The industries need the human beings.
Right. So what's coming up is not the end of the world, it's a change, a transformation.
Yeah.
Things will crash, but...
And the human beings will be able to function and survive because they have the information and the knowledge from the times, all these years that they've worked for these big industries. They got the knowledge of how to build houses and how to do everything that they need to survive. And they will join together in a cooperative effort and you will have a new society. There will be a lot of people who will perish because there will be a lot of suicides for the big bankers, the big industry people and all this when they see their years of working for millions of dollars and now their money is not worth anything.
Yeah.
But the human beings who will survive will be the ones who hardly had anything to begin with.
They believe that the electromagnetic waves we have on the Earth for our mobile phones and microwave ovens, that they are dangerous too, that they are keeping us from having the connection?
Well, of course, they're damaging, but these won't function anymore either. See, the new technology will be introduced to you. It will be brought to you. As soon as the technology here quits functioning, when this transformation is complete, and of course there will be some destruction and panic during that time, and this is why I'm informing many people, and these people can inform other people, then you have at least a large amount of people that won't panic and that can help the others to function during this transformation. We're setting up centers and locations where the people can come for safety, for information, for whatever they need. This is being supplied on the internet. You'll find transformation updates every month. You'll find it on the internet. You'll find all kinds of programs for meditation, for just everything. There's all kinds of networks set up for people you can contact for information. When it's complete, then the new technology will be brought and introduced to you so that you can continue to exist, but in a new way.
What's the new technology?
Oh, it will be magnetic energy, solar power, everything that works within nature.
It's not electronic.
The new energy, free energy, you know. The free energy.
Photonic, what is it?
You'll have resonating magnetic energy. You'll have, we also are creating information about crystals and their power, which was used in ancient times. Healing techniques that you develop from your own self. See, there's many energy devices. There's like even the people who publish my book have free energy books and videos that you can get. And it has a whole list of people who have created all these free energy devices all over the earth. Of course, they're not allowed to manufacture them because the energy industries here make sure that they won't allow it.
So the knowledge is here, but we can't use it yet. But the time is ahead that it will come.
There's a time when these people, well, I have many, many lists of people
who are waiting
to introduce their devices.
Great things to come up.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a lot better world. Of course, it'll be a difficult time during the transition, you know, because there will be a lot of panic of people who can't accept the transformation, who won't be able to go through it, mostly because they're not informed and they don't know what's going on, and they might injure each other in their panic. But nonetheless, that's only their physical selves, you know, but their souls will be able to re-enter and adjust to the new world, you know, just like before. It's not going to be anything different because you can't kill the soul, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Are Venusians helping us in this process? You said you are here, but
Venusians, people from Sirius, the people. There's so many different galaxies that are cooperating in this effort. The Pleiadians, from the Pleiadian star system, from Sagittarius, from many. Some of them don't look like humans. Then, of course, the non-physical beings are also participating in this. And it's in every prophecy, in every country that you find, it's in the prophecies.
And you have the stories about UFOs and contacts with the small quay and abductions.
These are the negative beings. There are negative
that's real.
Beings that exist.
But it's not that important.
Well, the governments were doing deals with them for their technology, and they gave them the free will to abduct people in exange for this.
So Roswell was for you?
Yeah, and the governments made deals with these beings, and when we connected these spiritual temples that are hidden around the earth, we built a protective field around the earth to prevent this from happening anymore.
Then we clip in interview or from a radio show, Jerry Springer show, in 1993.
You're not from the planet Earth. You're from Venus. Now, you'll excuse the skepticism, but, you know, we don't meet people from Venus every day.
Well,
in fact, when I first heard of this show, I thought you were from Venice, Italy, and I said, what's the big show? But Venus,
actually,
how did
you
it
may
start?
Have met people. You just may not have known who they were.
You're from Venus. Do you remember that?
Yes, and I'd rather be called Omniac rather than Sheila Gibson.
Omniac?
Omniac, please.
Omniac.
Yes.
Certainly. Okay, Omniac, how did it all start?
Well, what it is that you have to understand is that there is parallel dimensions that run parallel to the physical. And what I'm talking about is I actually existed on a different dimension rather than what you understand on Earth. So that the physical Venus no longer has an environment that is inhabitable because of our destruction of the physical planet when we did exist there. And we're trying to prevent this from happening to Earth now. So I was brought into your society in 1955 in a spaceship from Venus, because we do have the ability to manifest a physical body, and we only do this if we're going to live in your solar system and in your physical environment for the rest of our lives. And I made this decision to come because the people that generally come here from other planets live only temporary periods, working as scientists and in the government, doing different jobs to try to direct man toward a higher consciousness and better understanding of all the different races.
Okay, so you are existing on this planet Venus.
Yes.
In a dimension that we're not conscious of or we're not aware of.
Some people are, yes. They are aware of these levels.
Some are, okay. But you're existing on the planet Venus, and at some point, how old were you at the time?
Well, we have a different age than you understand. We have a age, we can live to be 500 years old, 500 physical years.
Okay, how old are you now? If you don't mind me asking, in Venice, if you were still in Venice, how old would you be?
I would be 200.
I mean, in Venus. Okay, how old would you be?
250.
You look great. Okay?
Thank you.
I'm telling you. All right. Now, some decision is made. You're old enough to make the decision that you're going to come to Earth?
They asked me because...
Who's they?
The spiritual leaders of our planet.
Okay, said, hey, Omnic.
Okay, and the Brotherhood of the Planets, who is like an organization that controls and patrols our physical universe, protects the planets here. And these are where that some of the UFO sightings come from. Before I begin, I want everyone to understand that I know a lot of your education on UFOs comes from tabloids, but this is like sensationalism, and most of it is not, you know, very realistic at all. I'm talking about people that I associate with are like Wendell Stevens, a retired Air Force colonel who published my book, Marina Popovich, who is from Russia.
Okay, I'm willing to...
These are authentic people.
Fine.
That...
Okay, I'm willing
me.
To believe. I'm not here to make fun. Right. I want to learn, okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, you come here to Earth on a spaceship. Do you come into a body of another person? Explain that.
No.
No.
We have a city on Venus. It's called the City of Retz, which is like the capital of the dimension that I came from. That exists on the physical as well as on the dimension where I came from. It is a city that is under a protective dome, and it's there on the physical surface as well as it is on the other level. We can lower our vibrations at this temple in this city and manifest the physical body. We do have physical ships which patrol in your solar system. And when I transported myself into the physical body and manifested this body, I had to make the decision knowing that I could not go back and exist on that other dimension as long as I have this body. So I came into your physical universe with full knowledge that I was going to be like a test, if you want to call it that. Because most people coming from our societies, which is not multicultural, we have one race per planet.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for them to live in your society for long periods of time because they don't understand the psychological and emotional differences of your society being
okay.
Mixed as it is.
So you came into the body of, as I understand it, a six-year-old child.
It went like this. I lowered my vibrations, manifested my physical body. I walked with my uncle, who also lives in the physical and is from Venus, to a spaceship. We got in a small spaceship, went to the big mothership, and came within thousands of miles of the Earth. The smaller craft transported me to a city in Tibet where I lived in a monastery that is primarily there for us to adjust to the gravity and to the food and environment here. I lived in the monastery for approximately a year to learn English, to learn about the family I was going to live with, and to adjust to your environment.
Now, when you joined this family here on Earth,
mm-hmm.
How old did they think you were?
Seven.
Seven, so that's what I'm saying. You didn't look like you look now. You
no.
look like a seven-year-old child.
But it was still me.
Okay, so you are now a seven-year-old. You're looking like a seven-year-old child.
Right.
How did you get into that family? They already had a child, right?
They had lost a child, and I took her place. In other words,
How did they lose the child?
She was killed in a bus accident.
Did they know that their child had died?
Yes, they were told beforehand. They were aware. She was being transported from
her... So they adopted you.
Right.
In other words, they don't think that you're just the continuation of their child.
No.
Okay, so you're just a new child
yes.
that they adopted, and a seven-year-old child.
I was raised by my grandmother first and lived with her, and then I went to live with my mother here on Earth, my Earth family.
Okay. You have heard...